day, dental professionals. Welcome to the Dental Flow Podcast. We are dentistry's go-to resource for insights into the business side of dentistry. Your host, Benjamin Suggs, will be helping you navigate through the currents of the ever-changing dental waters. This podcast is packed with innovative practice growth strategies, actionable insights, and expert advice, all tailored to help you elevate your dental practice to the next level. If you're ready to dive in, so are we. Let's get into the flow.
Good day, dental superstars. Welcome back to the Dental Flow Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Benjamin Suggs. I am the owner of Flow New Patient Marketing. And today's topic that we're going to discuss is 10 things that people hate about going to the dentist and what you can do to turn those pain points into massive practice growth for your practice. So let's start by why we even care, why we want to focus on what people hate about going to the dentist. Well, there's a really great quote that I love that says, irritations lead to innovations. And what that means is that highly successful new businesses, what they often do is they don't just copy what people are doing well, what competitors are doing well. They figure out what their competitors are not doing well, and they do that better. And that gives them a unique push into the market. And if you look at dental marketing today, I mean, most of it is just the same recycled taglines, the same recycled things like, you know, caring team, comfortable dentistry, advanced technology, personalized service. You know, patients have heard all of that before. It's just really noise at this point because it's everyone's out there saying it. Everyone's out there saying it the same way. Nobody's being particularly bold in their messaging. So where do we find boldness in the messaging? Well, you actually want to speak to what we know patients don't like about going to the dentist. Like, is it going to hurt? What's going to cost me? Am I going to be shocked by the cost? Will I be judged for not having been to the dentist in a while when I go? Will I waste half my day sitting there waiting for the dentist to see me? Can I trust what they recommend, or are they just price gouging or upselling me to get more money out of me? So these are the real thoughts that are going through people's heads when they're determining whether they're going to your dental practice or your competitor's dental practice. So what we want to do is really focus on identifying those most common irritations and frustrations, explaining how to redesign the experience in your dental practice around each one, and then show how to turn each improvement into credible marketing. That's the goal of this podcast today. So thank you for joining me, and let's dive right in. So there's an underlying marketing framework that we're going to apply here. I'm calling it the five P's. So in order to attack this, we want to A, identify the problem. That's the first thing we're going to do. What are the biggest problems and pain points that people have about going to the dentist? Secondly, we're going to identify a protocol. So what's a protocol? And this is really where you come in as a dentist, as a dental practice owner. What protocol can you put into place in your practice to tackle that pain point, to tackle, solve that problem for patients? And this is where it's really, really critical, because if you just go out, the next step is promise, where we make a clear message publicly that we promise that we're not going to have that pain point happen in our practice. But if you haven't put the right protocol in place, that's bullshit, to be honest with you. That's just us as a marketing thing saying, oh yeah, you'll never have any pain when you're here at our practice. But if there's been nothing put in protocol for the dental practice in place, that's really just BS. We're just out there saying it, but we're not backing it up. Fourth is proof. We have actual evidence of this. We have reviews. We have customers saying this. Yes, this gentle, pain-free, anxiety-free. And then lastly is promotion. How we actually take that promise, take that proof, and put it out in the marketplace in a way that it will attract a ton of patients to your practice. So that's the framework we want to look at this, a lens, if you will, that we're going to look at these problems through. But let's start with the first pain point. Number one, pain, fear of pain. That's a big one. Obviously, a lot of people have anxiety about going to the dentist. They're afraid to go to the dentist, and it all revolves around pain. So the pain points they're thinking are like, is this procedure going to hurt? Will I actually be fully numb before they start working on me? What if the dentist continues, even though I'm just uncomfortable and I'm in pain, the dentist just powers through, it doesn't stop. Anxiety is caused by not knowing if some sensations are normal, and they can't really stop you to ask, hey, is it normal for me to feel this weird, this pain in the back of my mouth? Those are the fears that are going through an average person's head when they're thinking about scheduling a dental appointment. And obviously not everybody has those, but a lot of people do. Generally, this is the number one pain point that patients have about going to the dentist is pain itself. So what we want to do is think about ways that we can communicate a protocol that will alleviate their concerns. So one idea we had was something called a numbness first protocol. Basically, you implement this in your practice and you say, okay, we will ask that patient about any previous problems with anesthesia. We will establish a stop signal. So you tell the patient, like, if at any point you need us to stop, you can do this. Tap your leg, tap the dentist's arm, whatever it is. Test the numbness before beginning treatment. So just again, to make sure that there's actually are numb, completely numb before treatment. And then conduct comfort checks during the procedure. I'm sure most of you do that anyway, but checking in with the patient every now and then, like, are you okay? Are you in pain? Is anything good? And then explain the difference between pressure, vibration, and pain, because there's often going to be pressure that has to be applied and how that is different from pure pain, vibrations from instruments, things like that. To apply a marketing angle on that, we would say, we don't begin until you let us know that you're numb. So we don't have, and this is a stated issue that patients have had of the doctor doing the treatment before they were fully numb. So we don't start until we confirm with you that you're fully numb. This is the numbness first protocol. We create a website page where we explain that, a specific page speaking to this protocol that will alleviate concern for people looking at your website. You could even produce a video about the protocol and how it goes. And then you could ask appropriate patients to talk about it. You know, to go on camera and say, yes, you know, I like coming here because they always make sure that I'm fully numb before they do anything. And that really has always been an anxiety and a fear of mine. So that's very, very straightforward. Of course, we can never say pain-free dentistry. That's a promise that nobody can keep because different people have different pain thresholds. Some people, anything that happens will be painful, whereas others would say that's not a big deal. So we never want to say pain-free. That's why we say numbness first protocol. So that's number one. Number two, high costs and surprise bills. Again, a big one, a big, big, big one that people are always concerned about what they're going to be told they have to pay when they come to see the dentist. They don't like surprises. They like to know up front. But as you know, dentists are not very forthcoming with pricing. Most dentist clients that we have will tell the person, we can only give you a range. We can't tell you exactly how much. And I totally understand why. Because you actually need to look in their mouth and see what's going on before you commit to a dollar amount. But that causes a disconnect. There's a lack of congruence between messaging and what the patient is hearing because they're thinking there's something fishy if you can't tell me how much it's going to cost. That means you're probably going to charge me more. So they come to the practice and they're afraid that, you know, they don't know what's going to cost. Their insurance estimates are presented as guarantees. Financing is introduced only after they object, and additional charges appear without adequate explanation. That's a huge, when I look at one-star reviews for our clients, we see those all the time where a patient says, I really love the dentist. I love coming here. But 6 months after my last visit, all of a sudden I get this big bill in the mail and I don't understand what it's for. They just sent it to me. That's a huge issue that people have. So let's talk about the protocol. So the idea we came up with here is what we call a price clarity protocol. We're going to provide an itemized estimate before treatment even begins. We're going to separate the practice's fees from the insurance estimate to be clear. We're going to explain what happens if insurance pays less than expected. That is the thing that you can't control. You know, you can explain to the patient that that's between them and the insurance company, but you're going to do everything you can to get the most maximized benefits from the insurance company. Present financing early without assuming the patient needs it. Require approval before performing anything that materially changes the bill. So this is where the surprises come in. They told me it was going to be $500, but then they said they had to do this, this, and this, and I got a $1,000 bill. That's a big issue. If you communicate this price clarity protocol effectively, you're going to give and alleviate those people's concerns and fears about cost. Now, there's going to be times where there's going to be extra costs and things are going to happen. You're still going to have some disagreements, but we're talking about making people feel better to come in as new patients and hopefully really minimizing any of those things where they feel blindsided or surprised. The marketing angle for this, a couple options, you know, see the numbers before you choose your treatment. See the numbers before you decide your treatment. You're giving them full control. They don't feel like something's happening to them. Something's happening for them because they're in control. No surprise charges from us. That's where you can be very clear. You can't control the insurance company, but you can control what you charge. Show an anonymized sample treatment estimate online. So this is a tough one for dentists, but you potentially could show what a treatment plan looks like from start to finish cost-wise. And a big popular thing right now are price calculators. You're seeing them in all other industries except for dentistry because we're tough to get put prices on websites. But other industries are getting ahead by putting price calculators on their website. And why they're doing that? AI. So AI agents are now going to be tasked by someone, hey, I need a new roof on my house. Go find 6 companies and give me the best price estimate you can find. The agent will go out there, and if you have that on your website, it can actually do a quick run through and give the person a price estimate. So that's why that's becoming more and more important, because AI agents are going to start taking over traffic on the internet, where humans are no longer going out and booking things. Agents are doing it for them. So another big thing we can do in the marketing angle is build an advertising campaign around financial transparency. That is a big deal. Again, we do that already today with some of our clients, where we talk about no surprises. You'll know exactly what the cost will be up front. And that's really popular with people. They like it. We especially do it with our fee-for-service clients, because we know that people are nervous if they're insured about going to a fee-for-service practice, because they don't feel like they're in control. They don't know what the insurance company is going to hit them with a bill. But if we're saying like, hey, no surprises, full financial transparency, they feel less concerned about that. And then create a short video explaining why insurance estimates sometimes change. We know that's the one piece we can't control. So we have to explain why that happens, why insurance companies, an executive in a cubicle up in Connecticut are the ones making those decisions, not the dental office. So an important distinction here, the practice cannot control what an insurance company eventually pays. It can control whether its own fees and assumptions are clearly communicated. So again, that's the gist of this. Like, we can't control them, but we can control what we do as a program. All right, pain point number 3, needles and injections. Patients experience they have fear begins before the needle appears. So they're afraid that that needle is going to come out. They don't want to see a needle. They never like needles, whether it's a medical doctor or dentist, doesn't matter. They hate needles. Some patients feel embarrassed about their needle anxiety, so that makes it even worse. And the sight of a syringe can be worse than the injection itself. The most painful injections affect future appointments. So if someone comes in and they had a really painful injection into their gums, there's a good chance they're not going to come back. So here's what we would transform this as a pro. Create a needle anxiety pathway, a protocol. Allow patients to flag needle anxiety during booking. So ask them the question, do you have any anxiety about needles, or are you afraid of needles? Keep the syringe outside the patient's line of sight. Use topical anesthetic when appropriate. Deliver anesthetic slowly. Coach the patient through breathing and distraction, and discuss clinician-approved anxiety or sedation options where appropriate. So those are 6 options there that you could roll into a needle anxiety pathway protocol. The marketing angle for this, needle nervous, tell us once, we change the entire visit. Or add needle anxiety as an option on the appointment form. Film a hygienist or dentist explaining the protocol. Target relevant search terms with a dedicated landing page. So people who type, dentist for cowards or anxiety-free dentist, whatever it is in a search term, have a page on your website that talks about this protocol and how you make the visit better for those people that have that anxiety. All right, number 4, drills, tools, noises, and sensory discomfort. So we're kind of grouping all those into this one, number 4. So what patient experience? They don't like the drill sound. Nobody likes the drill sound. Instruments sitting within view sometimes freaks people out when they can actually see it sitting there right there and knowing that's going in their mouth. Just a side note here. One of the things I cannot stand is when I look at a dentist website that we didn't do and the company used stock photography, but they use stock photography of like picks and metals that goes in people's mouth, or they have a picture of somebody sitting there with 3 things in their mouth at the same time. That is just driving people away. Nobody looks at that and says, I can't wait to book an appointment there. So what do we focus on is just showing people happy, relaxed, the state that we want to feel when they come in, not people with a bunch of instruments in their mouth. So sorry, side note there. It's just a marketing pet peeve that I have. The smells. The dental office smells. The chemicals sometimes drive people away. They don't like it. Water suction, vibration, dry lips, jaw fatigue, gagging, neck discomfort. I personally have a gag reflex. It makes it tough for me. I really hate getting those film x-rays because those things are so big that you have to bite down on. And it always makes me gag. So that is something very important to me that I like dentists who can communicate to me like, We have techniques around people with gag reflex. All right. Experience transformation. Here's the protocol. The quiet care kit. Quality headphones, noise-canceling headphones. Patient-selected music or video where they can listen to whatever they want to listen to in those headphones. Neck and bite support. Lip balm, which every practice should have lip balm because every time I walk out of the dentist, my lips are chapped and dry. Planned suction and jaw breaks, meaning that if you're doing something where you got the person's mouth open for a long period of time, you know, give them breaks in between. Say, all right, just relax for a minute and then we'll restart. A choice between explanations, discretion, or quiet. And then lastly, instruments kept outside the patient's direct view until they're needed. So there's a lot baked in there because we're talking about sounds, we're talking about smells, we're talking about visual of instruments. But it is a very calming idea of a quiet care kit where it's like an oasis. You're distracted from these noises and things that you don't like, you don't want to see. So that is the quiet care kit protocol. The marketing angle for it, choose your soundtrack, not the drills, where you get to listen to whatever music you want. You don't have to hear that drill. Show the quiet care kit in a social content. Let patients, so literally you have a picture of the headphones and a soft pillow or whatever you have for the person. Let patients select comfort preferences before arriving so they can tell you like, oh yeah, I'd really like to not hear that stuff. I don't want to see that stuff. Ask them these questions. Just say, are you afraid of, do you have a visual response to seeing these things? We'll keep them out of your sight. Just a thought alone is going to make people love your dental practice, that you're thinking about them that way, not just forcing them into the same square peg that you force all your patients into. And then lastly, just create some reels demonstrating individual comfort options. So discussion point here, technology matters only when a patient can feel the difference. A new scanner is not automatically a marketable benefit. Avoiding an uncomfortable impression can be. And that's an important point that, you know, when we talk about technology on dental websites, we always try to focus on what it does for the patient. Not the coolness of this laser, but what the actual benefit is to the patient. And we always talk about it as being comfort amenities, comfort technology and amenities. So technology is there to better diagnose you, but also to increase your comfort and reduce your irritation. All right, pain point number five, fear of bad news and unnecessary treatment. So again, we're grouping two here together, but they're both important. People don't want to go to any doctors because they have anxiety of getting a bad news. So at the dentist, it could be told, you know, hey, you need thousands of dollars of work. Or, you know, I went there for a teeth whitening and they said, sorry, you've got periodontal issues. So we got to do a whole nother big thing before we can whiten your teeth. Concern that every problem is being treated as urgent. This is another thing that I think really good dentists do is they outlay the work that needs to be done, but they identify what's urgent and what's not. So it's not like, oh, you have to have this done the next time you come in. Like, we're going to watch that for the next few visits and eventually we're going to have to do it. So you're preparing them, but you're not making them do everything right away all the time. Suspicion that a practice is selling instead of diagnosing. So upselling is a major issue that we are seeing really take off across the markets that we work in for dental advertising. And people are out there saying that this is an issue that they have. They don't want to feel like they walk into a dental office and they can start to get upsold on everything. Like, oh, you need this, you need this, you need this. And I know for a fact that there's dental practices that will actually give bonuses to their staff if they can upsell people into other services. And I can guarantee you that the people understand that what that's happening to them. They realize that all of a sudden they've been told nothing and all of a sudden they need this new fancy technology, the PerioProtect or whatever the doctor has. So beware of that, because if you're doing too much of that, you're going to silently turn people off. They may not even write a bad review. They're just not going to come back to the practice. And then there's always confusion when two different dentists recommend different treatment. So I see that a lot too, where, you know, one of our clients will get a bad review because they'll say, oh, well, they told me I needed $5,000 worth of work, but this other dentist said, I don't need to do any of that. You know, it's not automatic that the other dentist is right. You could have been completely right in your treatment plan, but their perception is just whoever's the cheapest and less work to be done is probably being the honest one. So those are all things that they're going on in their head when they're scheduling an appointment. So here's the protocol. The evidence-first treatment plan. Show the patient the photograph, scan, or radiograph. This is where intraoral cameras are incredibly useful, that you can actually put the camera in there and show them what you're seeing so they can see for themselves, oh, wow, yeah, I do see those cavities. Show the patient the photograph, scan, or radiograph. Drive recommendations into now, soon, and watch. So three buckets. This has to be taken care of now. This has to be taken care of soon. And this has to be watched over the next few visits to see how it progresses. So you're giving them, you know, there's more trust being built there because you're being honest and saying, hey, this is something we really have to do, but these other two things can wait. Explain reasonable alternatives. So sometimes those alternatives can be bad. You know, when I look at like dentures versus implant dentures, you know, you could say like, hey, we can put you in a, if you can't afford implant dentures, we can put you in a denture. You're just not going to like it. You're not going to like taking it out, putting it on the side table every night. You're not going to like the way it looks sitting there, but you give them those options. So at least they know that they are being told there's other options besides the $60,000 implant dentures. Explain what could happen if treatment is delayed. This is a big one. So for those urgent now things in that first bucket, you know, be forthright about, hey, this is what could happen if we don't fix this right away. It's urgent. Provide the records needed to obtain a second opinion. So we should always be open to that. And I actually think that if you're a dentist and it's hard. You don't want to tell someone, go get a second opinion. But you could tell them like, hey, if you want to get a second opinion, that's fine. Like we can give you the records if you want. I think for me personally, if you told me that, I'd say, okay, I trust you. Like obviously you believe what you're saying because you're telling me you're happy if I want to go get a second opinion. That means I trust you now. Let's get this done. And avoid unnecessary same-day pressure. So the same-day thing is big because people feel like that all the time. Like they feel like the used car lot type of thing. Like, oh, we have this sale, but it's only on today. You have to do it today. That's sales. That's salesman pushing for a same-day commission. So we should always avoid that unnecessary pressure to try to have them do it right then at that moment. If they don't want to, if they want to come back, that's fine. If it's something they want to do and you can get it done, absolutely do it the same day. So the marketing angle for this, see what we see. That's an easy one that we use a lot, especially for intraoral cameras. Understand every option, decide without pressure. And then you can use videos demonstrating the now watch system. So have a video where you talk about, you know, every patient that comes in, we talk about what needs to happen now, what needs to happen soon, and what we'll just watch for the future. And then lastly, publish an anonymized example of a treatment plan format. So again, tougher for dentists to do. But if you could put something up there that kind of shows people what it looks like, it's useful. Okay. Don't promise that treatment can always be postponed. Some conditions generally require urgent care. So we have to always just follow our medical diagnosis kit and realize, yes, there's some things that we, whether the patient likes it or not, if it has to happen, it has to happen. And we just have to make sure we convey that in a trustworthy way. Okay. Pain point number 6, loss of control. What the patients are fearing. They cannot speak normally. They do not know what is happening next. They feel trapped once treatment starts. Previous experiences taught them that raising a hand might be ignored. So I have had this feeling in the dental office where you've got all the stuff going on in your mouth. You can't communicate. It's always funny to me that my dentists were always asking me questions when I have all that stuff in my mouth, but it's hard to communicate. And you don't always know how much longer is it going to be. But I've had some really good hygienists, for example, that literally everything they do, they're telling you what they're going to do before they do it. I'm going to do this. This will only last just a couple of minutes and we'll be done. That makes me feel great because my biggest thing is time. How much more time am I going to be sitting here doing this? How much longer is it going to last? Those are things I want to know before anything starts. So an idea here for a protocol is the control first care during the normal appointment. Review the patient's preferences before reclining them. So talk to them right away about preferences, what they do, what they don't like. Agree on a stop signal. We've already mentioned this one, but it seems to be very important because we see it in the research that we looked at to build this podcast. A lot of people don't like that they feel like they can't make the procedure stop when they want it to stop. So give them a signal, tap me in the arm twice, whatever it is. Ask permission before beginning a new step. That's again what I was talking about. Like, all right, next thing we're going to do is this. Are you feeling okay? Are we good to go? Check in with them. Provide time remaining updates. Just let them know, all right, we're going to be done. Just a few more minutes. We're almost done. Meaning that, you know, hey, we're going to do this. And then once that's done, we're going to stop. We're going to check in. So you'll have a little bit of a break and then we'll go again. And then let the patient choose how much explanation they want. So some people may not like all that. Some people might be like, I don't care. Let's just get this over with. I don't need a break. But ask them, feel them out. Let them know. Let them tell you what they want or don't want. All right, so the marketing angles for this. One is your hand goes up, everything stops. So it's a simple thing. All you gotta do is raise your hand, we stop, whatever we're doing. More control, not more appointments. Demonstrate the stop signal agreement in a short video and then include the promise in new patient communications. All right, Pain point number 7, shame, embarrassment, and lectures. So we actually use this a lot in our dental marketing. We call it judgment-free dentistry because we've actually heard it. We record dental phone calls. So we've heard of thousands and thousands and thousands of dental phone calls. And we've heard front desk do this when someone says, oh yeah, I haven't been to the dentist in like 7 years. So like, oh my God, wow, you haven't been in 7 years. Like nobody wants to be made to feel bad about that. And they probably don't want to go to the dentist because they know they haven't gone to the dentist for 7 years. I was at this point, when I was younger, I didn't go to the dentist for a while. And I actually didn't want to go because I didn't want to sit there and get guilted about I haven't gone to the dentist. So keep that in mind for your all the way from your front desk intake calls all the way through treatment. You never want to shame people. So what are the parents are, the patients are experiencing? Why haven't you been to the dentist? What's stopping you? Lectures about brushing, flossing, you're not doing a good enough job, you need to do better. Embarrassment about broken, missing, or decayed teeth. So we actually see this a lot when it comes to implant marketing, because we have seen that a lot of people who are missing a lot of teeth will, they're so nervous about even talking about it that they will actually call a dental practice and hang up. So we see a lot of these weird hangups where they're calling and hanging up. And sometimes it takes three of those before they finally connect the call. They get the courage up to connect the call to discuss with that dental practice about replacing their teeth. So it's a known thing. People really are embarrassed by that and they don't want to talk about it. And then lastly here, fear that the team is discussing them after they leave. So that one's not as big, but there could be some people out there that genuinely don't like the fact that people are laughing at their dental hygiene or whatever when they leave the practice. All right, the protocol, judgment-free restart, we call it. So eliminate accusatory language completely. Replace "why did you wait" with "hey, you're here now, we're gonna get this fixed." Ask what prevented the patient from receiving care so you can get to the underlying issues that they have and you can work around that. Give the patient a manageable first step, one tiny step, like, all right, well, here's the first step. We're just gonna get you in here for a consult, discuss your options. It's gonna be great. And then train the entire team, including the front desk, to really not have any judgment language used at all. Sometimes it's just we do it out of habit. Like, oh my goodness, that's a long time. But that's not, you know, even that jokingly is bad. And then the marketing angle for this. So no lectures, no guilt, just a plan forward. Run a reactivation campaign for patients who have been absent for several years. You know, a lot of doctors don't realize you're sitting on a gold mine. You have this patient database and you tend to only focus on the active patients and not the inactive, but those inactive patients could be won back. And, you know, we could find out why they left, why they didn't come back, and maybe they're just waiting for the call. Create a before and after stories, focus on courage rather than neglect. We actually talk about this a lot with implant marketing, where we're trying to make the patient the hero of the story. And we tell our practices, like, you know, you're the advocate for them. They're the hero. So make them feel that way as you're talking about financing and all these things, is that, hey, you know, you should be so proud of yourself for doing this. It's such a big deal. We're just here to help you get through it and do it the best. Okay. And then lastly, build content around it's never too late to restart. So it's the judgment-free restart. So think about that. That's a really compelling way to market that, because you got all these people who are just avoiding the dentist because they haven't been in a long time. But we're saying, hey, it's a judgment-free restart. We're just going to restart your care. Everything's going to be okay. You don't have to worry. It doesn't matter what happened before. It only matters what happens going forward. All right. Number 8, dental care takes too much time. I'm raising my hand for those of you who are listening to this on the audio, because I am this person. My number one thing, I have a gag reflex, but my number one thing is time. When I have walked out of a dental office before, I sat down, I was 30 minutes past my appointment time. Nobody communicated what was going on. I went up to the front desk and I said, yeah, I'm not going to stay here anymore. Just canceled my appointment. I left. And I never went back, because to me, my time is the thing that I value more than anything else for what I do. And I know there's a lot of people like me out there. Like, there are a lot of people who are professionals. They have a lot of work to do. They got a lot of stuff going on. So for them, it's not even the cost. It's the time. Like, I pay it, whatever. I just need to get me in and out of there efficiently. Don't make me wait. So the dentist I go to now, I never wait more than 2 minutes. When I arrive, they're ready. I sit down, they're like, oh, come on back. And that's it. And they get me out of there fast. I love that. Okay. So what the patients are fearing in this scenario is multiple appointments for one problem. That's a big thing. And this is something interesting, that a side note, we've had a number of fee-for-service dental clients over the years that would tell us that they would have two new patient appointments. So they would have, one would be the person comes in for a consultation and an interview with the doctor. Second one, a separate cleaning appointment. And I had a client once that they were insistent that that's the way to do it because they're like, well, we're fee for service and we have to deliver a better product service to the people to get them to come here if we're not in network. So what we had to do was call tracking. And I was able to show them how many times people hung up the phone when they were told that they're going to have to come in for two appointments. And it was massive. And they said, oh gosh, let's stop doing that. From now on, everybody comes in for one appointment. Cleaning happens the same day. We're not doing that anymore. So I would encourage you, if you're doing this today, really try and do some call tracking and see how many people don't come because you're being told they have to come for two appointments. I would absolutely not come to your practice personally if I was told that I had to come back for a second cleaning appointment. I want to come in and get it done. That's my whole thing. Time. Taking time away from work, again, it's a big one. A lot of people can't. Like they literally can't take time away from work. So that's a tough one. Repetitive paperwork. Having to do, this has happened to me. Filled out everything online. There's like, oh, I'm so sorry. There's a problem. Can you just do it again? And I can't stand it. I won't do it. Limited appointment availability. They think that there's going to be, you know, scarcity. And then appointments with unclear duration. So it is very important that we let people know exactly about how much time they need to budget for a dental appointment as they're booking it. The experience transformation. This is the protocol. Time smart visit. So the time smart visit encapsulates all of this. Publish realistic appointment links. So say exactly what appointment times usually take. Use mobile paperwork. So have people be able to fill it out on a mobile phone from their home before they come in. Offer online scheduling. People are really digging online scheduling. I'm going to take another little detour here, but online scheduling is becoming very popular because you have millennials are now entering the age of 40 plus where they are going to be prime dental candidates for dentistry, for good amount of work. And they are the first generation that started with phones. So they're not big on calling. They like to do stuff online via text. They don't like making phone calls. So it's going to be more and more important going forward that dentists have online schedule. So side note there, but it fits in here. Provide early, late, or family block appointments where feasible. So I do know that we have a number of clients who will have one day of the week that they'll stay open till say like 8 o'clock. And they'll tell me that that 5 to 8 time frame is their most popular one because we usually recommend it if you're in a place where people commute out of away, like if you're in a suburb and people commute elsewhere to work, well, they're going to go to a dentist near work unless we offer them an appointment after hours so they can come back, hit their appointment. So it could either be before work or after work. But those are very popular appointment times. So if you can open your practice one day and open late, I guarantee you'll find a lot of people want to be there. Now, the only problem with that is if you're on a very bad traffic street, you don't want to do that because everyone's just going to be stuck in traffic trying to get to your office that time. Combine eligible treatment whenever clinically appropriate. Use same-day technology if the practice has it. And then coordinate treatment to reduce unnecessary return visits. The Time Smart Visit Protocol. The marketing angle for this, I know the time before you book. Fewer visits whenever clinically possible. Diagnosis, planning, and eligible treatment in one visit. Build advertising around convenience for working professionals and parents. So we often do this when we have clients that are in an area where there's like a lot of office parks around them. So we're trying to get those people who are commuting in to come to the dentist. So we market like lunchtime dental visits, stuff like that. So you know, a 1 hour block during lunch, you can come in, get what you need done. And it was very, very popular because for someone who has a 1 hour lunch break, that's perfect for them. They come in, they get the work done, grab a sandwich, head back to their desk. Okay, number 9, waiting past the appointment time. I just mentioned this happened to me that I walked out of a dental office and is definitely something that I go to my dentist for that specific reason. My current dentist never makes me wait more than a few minutes. So what the patients are experiencing, the practice charges patients for late cancellations, but faces no consequences for running late. So think about that. They'll charge me if I cancel the appointment that day, but there's no vice versa there. Like if I come and I'm an hour late sitting down in the chair, they don't owe me money. They should. You know, what's that? Nobody provides an update. Another huge one. If you got someone waiting past time, you need to tell them every 5 minutes what's going on. Let them know you're working on it. You're aware. You know it's a problem. You're going to fix it. The patient does not know whether the delay will be 5 minutes or 50 minutes. Like, again, think about someone leaving work to go to the dentist and not knowing if they're going to be an hour past time that they're supposed to be. a scheduled appointment becomes a lost afternoon. All right. The protocol, the time respect pledge. So on the website, we say we will send a text when the practice is running behind. We'll be proactive in letting you know. We'll allow patients to wait remotely. So you can wait in your car. You don't even have to come in until we tell you it's time. Give a realistic updated start time. So communicate, hey, we know you had a 2 o'clock appointment. We're running a little late. Your new appointment time is 2:15. If you need to cancel, that's fine because you have to give them an out if you're late. Consider a small account credit after a defined delay or a make good. You know, sometimes a make good could be a Starbucks gift card. It'd be that easy. Just have a stack of Starbucks gift card. And when someone is running late, like you say, we're so sorry about this. We're going to make sure this doesn't happen next time, but we feel so bad. We want you to have this Starbucks gift card so you can go get yourself a nice coffee when you leave here. And we apologize. Allow penalty-free rescheduling when the practice is significantly delayed. So if you're delayed, you should offer people the option, like I said, to reschedule if you're going to be 30 minutes late or whatever it is. And then consider a small amount credit after defined delay. So, and then track your actual door-to-chair times. So track how long it's happening. The doctor's very busy back there. It's hard for the doctor. Doctor's going patient to patient. But someone should be able to track at the front desk. Okay, we had people on average going 15 minutes over their time today. We need to fix that. The marketing angle for this, the time respect pledge. If we're running late, you'll know before you sit. Your time matters on both sides of the appointment. And publish the specific pledge instead of vaguely claiming to be on time. We use the words on time all the time. On time dentistry, efficient, on time. But saying that pledge and saying it, we are sticking to this pledge that either you'll be sat on time or you're going to get a gift card. That's huge. People love that. For the people that have this fear, that's a big, big deal. Okay. Last but not least, pain point number 10, poor communication and sales pressure. What patients experience. So dental terminology they do not understand. Conflicting messages from different team members. Unanswered financial questions. Unclear recovery instructions. Nobody taking responsibility after treatment. And pressure to accept care immediately. So what is the protocol to fix these pain points? We came up with a plain English visit brief. This is where we, in very plain English, explain what was found, what is urgent, what can wait. So we'll go back to those three buckets: now, soon, watch. Put them in the buckets for them. Available treatment options. There's more than one. Let them know what they are. Expected fees, expected recovery. Warning signs, who to contact, what happens next. So you come in, the person gets a consultation and you find, okay, here's all the stuff that needs to happen. You could have a system where AI could do this for you, where you just have your codes, you put the code in and it produces this document for the person. What was found, what's urgent, what can wait, available treatment options, expected fees, expected recovery time, warning signs, who to contact and what happens next. Plain, plain English, understandable for a five-year-old to read it and understand what's going on. And for bigger treatments like implant, you can assign a coordinator. So this is Becky. She's going to be with you, your advocate from start to finish, and she'll be the person you can call with any concerns, issues, or questions. The marketing angle here, leave with answers, not jargon. One person owns your case from beginning to end. Show an example visit brief and create educational videos explaining common procedures in plain English. This is something that would be a good idea for anybody. Like, I don't care if someone, it doesn't even have to be someone who this is a fear or pain point. This one about not poor communication and sales pressure. This could be anybody would appreciate this. Like, appreciate a download of that visit in plain English that they could easily understand and make a decision on. Like, I'm dumb. I'm going to say that right now. I'm not a smart person. So when my team gives me complex things, I need it dumbed down. I need, like, what's the decision you need made by me? When you need it made and explain it to me. I do that in AI all the time. Explain it to me like a five-year-old. So I really, truly can understand what I'm talking about. Okay. So bringing this whole strategy together. So we went through all 10 pain points and we learned about some options that you could do, some protocols to put in place. What if we rolled it into one overarching thing? The patient respect promise that the practice makes to the patient. The patient respect promise includes 1, costs before care, 2, numbness before treatment, 3, stop means stop, 4, no lectures, shame, or judgment, 5, delay notifications before unnecessary waiting, And 6, fewer visits whenever clinically possible. That encapsulates just about everything we just talked about. And that, instead of having 18 different protocols communicated all over your website, the internet confusing them, this rolls it all into one simple message for people. Possible positioning on this. We rebuilt the dental visit around everything patients hate about the dentist. Or dental care designed around your comfort, control, money, and time. Now, I'm not even saying that you have to address all 10 in this patient respect promise. You can just pick the ones that are most likely encountered at your practice. You can look at your own bad reviews and say, what are people complaining about here? Fix, put the protocols in place to solve that from happening again, and then put it into your patient respect promise that you display prominently on the homepage of your website. So I would challenge you, everyone listening, if you own a dental practice, if you're a dentist, to really think about, A, go to your reviews. That's the first step. Go to reviews, see what people complain about for your practice, and then put protocols in place to solve those pain points. And then think, how do we now communicate this to people outside? And another thing we often do is the flip side of that, which when we bring on a new client, one of the first things we do is look at their positive reviews, because we feel like the people better, most qualified to tell us what's good about this practice are the patients who give it 5-star reviews. So we'll go look at those and we'll say, oh, okay, these are the value proposition points we should highlight, because this is what their patients consistently talk about as good about the practice. So you can communicate the good, fix the bad, and then communicate that. And then you have all that in your messaging to really make you stand out and not just be out there saying what everyone else is saying. You know, sometimes boldness, we have to be more bold in our advertising. I know a lot of dentists don't like that. They want to be the same. They want to have the same that everyone else has, but irritations drive innovations. You know, we're not trying to copy what other people do well. We're trying to do it better. So if you think about how you could do that in your practice, communicate it, and put it out there for people, you're going to have a lot of success. I hope you found this helpful, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this Dental Flow podcast episode. If you enjoyed today's discussion and wish to stay updated on future episodes, please like, subscribe, and share the podcast with colleagues and friends. For more insights and discussions on dental marketing, we encourage you to continue riding the Dental Flow wave and tune into the next episode. Keep on smiling, learning, and flowing with the Dental Flow podcast.